Here, so I can put you back here. Hello, everyone on Facebook, starting the Facebook Live first. We're glad that you're here with us. Gonna get this going. I wonder if I can turn you and it works. There we go. I'm trying to make it so I can see you and see the camera and do all the things at the same time. Okay, there we go. I think it works.
Is it working?
Yay, now I can see you and look into the camera and do all the things. So that's good. Okay, we're gonna go live on the radio. Got to be working. Yay, that worked. Welcome. If you're listening to us on Church Step Radio or in the Facebook group, thanks for being with us. I'm super excited to have Jeremy with us here today. So thanks for being a guest.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So I met Jeremy a few weeks ago at Northern Green, I think that's what it was called, in Minneapolis. And we connected. I learned a little bit about him, been following him on Instagram and all the fun things. And I couldn't wait to have you on the show and learn more about you. So tell me a little bit. I'm just going to let you, instead of me doing an intro, just tell us about your story.
Well, I guess me personally, I've been in the snow business for like 20, 23, 24 years now. Pretty much snow has been my entire life for that many years. But I started with a smaller company in town here, and then I moved over to Glacier Snow by, I think it was about 15 years ago, started running this operation, and we just kind of blew up. And I don't know, I'm kind of a snow junkie. Snow guys know they got to be a different kind of breed. We're always on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in the wintertime, and it's pretty much a thankless job. I mean, nobody cares what happens. They just want it done. So as far as personally, I've had a lot of ups and downs in the snow business, but I mean, it's still fun. I enjoy every day of work I come to. So, I don't know. It's personally, I have a couple of kids, and they're, what are they, 19 and 13. Aww. And, they don't really, my boy he liked the toys or the equipment when he's a little younger. Now he's got too much other stuff going on, so he doesn't really come around as much as I'd like him to, but that's what happens. They get busy with sports and everything, so.
Yes. The equipment, you're a superstar for big snow equipment when they're little.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the kids love that, but yeah. It's fun. It's fun. I mean, it's a big equipment's good for all of us older guys, too. We love it. It's just big toys for us, so.
Well, I love that. See the fun of it and embracing the fun in, getting to play with big toys for a job. So for a career. So for 24 years, that's a long time in the industry.
Yeah, it's been a lot of missed Christmases and stuff like that. But yeah, you do what you got to do. Like I say, I've always had fun with it.
So you said thankless job, and that's so true in so many ways. Like we, most of us see it as, you know, maybe the snow as an annoyance and just the expectations. Everyone has the expectations of just their own convenience when it comes to snow, right? And like doesn't think about the big picture and what it takes to do the massive things you do when you get a lot of snow.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I call ourselves, we're the ghosts in the night. Nobody really, we just kind of see in the morning. Well, hopefully we did a good job by morning and everything's cleared and they come to work and everything's good to go. But yeah, I mean, it's, you only have a, I always tell them that we have one shot to get it right, because nothing against guys are mowing stuff, but I mean, if your mower breaks, would come tomorrow or the next day and get it mowed. Snow, they don't care. They just want it to be gone in the morning. It's not, they don't care what kind of problem you might have had, a loader go down or anything break. They just, it's not done, you're going to hear about it. So.
Exactly. I like that analogy of one chance to get it right, because if it's not done in the morning, that they are annoyed. So tell us, I don't know if we said where you're from, North Dakota.
Yep, Fargo, North Dakota. Sorry, I forgot about that.
Fargo.
Yeah, I'm on Fargo, North Dakota. Fargo, Moorhead, or Moorhead's across the river. It's in Minnesota. But our shop is actually located in West Fargo. It's kind of like a three town system here. But yeah, we're all within a few miles of each other. It's just all connected. So yeah, we're in a tropical weather here today. I think it's, well, today it's 13, but I think it's going to get 23 below tonight. So fun.
Oh my goodness. I'm getting a little crackle again, so maybe adjust your earpods just a little bit. Negative 13, I don't like that. I'm in Denver right now for Pro Greens, and Omaha was cold. It was negative 6 when I got here, and I'm not a fan of the cold, so yay you for weathering that. How much snow do you guys usually get a year?
Fargo, Moorhead's probably average 55 inches a year, roughly, what our average is. Right now we're sitting at right around 30, so... We got a ways to go yet, but we'll see what happens.
55 inches a year. Wow. Okay, so if you are on Facebook, ask us some questions, because my favorite thing is when I know there are a bunch of followers that were super excited. I told you that, Jeremy. And I was like, wow, I met Jeremy and I loved it. I was like, love your energy. I can't wait to hear more of your story. Let's come on the show and tell me more about it. And then it was so much fun. The connections that I have are like been following you and couldn't wait to hear more of your story. So you are an Instagram celebrity. Tell me about the fun that once I followed you, I was like, this is so entertaining. So tell me a little bit about that journey.
I don't know. I've always liked to take pictures and make videos and kind of put it to music, and I don't know, I like to show our stuff off, and I'm pretty proud of our operation, and I'm proud of all my guys, what we can do. So I like to just show everybody what we can do. It's kind of different. I mean, we make a lot of stuff happen, and like I said before, it's big boy toys, and they're just cool. It's fun. I mean, I thought I'd throw it on Instagram, and it kind of took off, and I don't know, I like it. It's fun.
Yeah, you have a lot of followers on Instagram. Like you said, it's entertaining. Big boy toys, and you do good stories of it following along, and like you said, put it to some good music. So you do a great job with content, and obviously have created a lot of fans along the way.
Yeah, it's been kind of fun. I like to get all the messages and how they're telling me I'm doing it wrong and all this stuff, but hey, that's part of the game. So I'm all right with that. So
how they tell you you're doing it wrong. Isn't that the truth on social media? I mean, you said that, that's so like people are, when you put yourself out there, but good for you, because it's not only entertaining, uplifting, you inspire. And like I said, just bring people joy, I think, with your stories, which is awesome. But it is a bummer that what comes with that, what comes with putting yourself out there, is people telling you how they could do it better.
Yeah, I mean, I know I try not to let it get to me, but sometimes, you know, like I'll chirp back and I probably don't need to do that. But it's like, I don't know, it's just, it works for us. Like a lot of people say, oh, you're just doing that for Instagram or TikTok. And I'm like, no, honestly, we've done it the way we're doing it. We've done it since we've started. We've always done our stuff like this. I mean, yeah, obviously there's something like, well, I put 10 loaders together in a parking lot. Well, yeah, I'll take a picture and do that for Instagram. But I mean, we've always plowed 3, 4, 5 loaders side by side. That's just the way we've always done it. It's not, I haven't changed anything just for Instagram or TikTok. It's just how we do it, and works for us. It doesn't work for everybody. And so I don't know. I don't know what to tell them. I just keep doing what we do.
Well, and even if it was, I mean, those are, you're saying when all the plows are side by side.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've always done it away because we always feel we can move more snow, and I don't know, all the guys like to do it and they're good at it. My guy, I got the best crew out there, in my opinion. So those guys just knock it out. So,
I have some questions on Facebook. Tell me about that. You have the best crew out there. How did you build the best crew? How do you keep the best crew? How do you keep, you know, motivating and inspiring them? And what you said is, you know, sometimes a thankless job.
I got a good base crew. Most of my guys were in a farming area, so I got a lot of egg guys, so they've grown up around equipment, so they know how to run the equipment. So I try to hire guys on that, not that I don't hire other guys, but I'd say my base core guys are a bunch of farmers or work in the egg industry, so they know how to run equipment. And I'm losing guys here and there because everybody's getting older and they're getting families, but my main crew, I've been together for probably 4 or 5 years, and you know, and I always hire more guys every year, new guys, and they're gonna eventually take their spot. But I guess we just try to, and I always tell my guys, if you're not having fun working here, then it's probably time for you to go, because it should be fun. You're with your buddies. They all become good buddies. They all wear headsets, and they're on, like, we call it a party call. They're in, like, I think it's Google Meeting we're on now, whatever, where everybody just comes on, and they're all just a bunch of guys talking crap all night long to each other and, you know, having fun with it. So they're all having fun and getting paid good and moving snow. So
that's fun. So you're all on, like, this group call while you're moving the snow together, instead of just independently, like, being on your own, like, it's the middle of the night and this is a bummer. You're creating a culture and having fun and like, you know, talking while you're doing it.
Yep. That would be quite the, if we could air what we say on that thing, we'd probably get put off the air, but yeah, I mean, there's some great conversations going on there, but, yeah, you can. I don't know, there's Google Meeting. I think it's Google Meeting or something we're on now, and you can just chime, get off and on whenever you want. And the guys just love it. They sometimes you pop into a conversation like, "What are you guys talking about right now?" It's just there's some major conversations that go on. But it's honestly we have two ways in all of our equipment too, which are good. But a lot of times this meeting or this party call we call it has saved a lot of, like, close calls. You know, a guy will yell, "Hey, somebody's right behind you," or something like that. So it's kind of it's a safety thing too. The guys, you know, they can just yell at somebody and they'll, you know, stop or whatever if they see somebody coming at them or somebody walking, or, you know, so it's fun. And it's,
if you're all on together, that's an immediate communication instead of,
yep.
Is two-way, is that like the old fashioned, like I had growing up on a farm? Like so little.
Yeah, it'd be like one of these. Yeah, it's just it's a little like a CB radio, pretty much.
Yes, CB. That's what we had growing up on the farm. We had like a call sign. Why did you do that? Because other people could hear? I don't even remember. I remember we had to say 359 to whoever we were talking to.
Oh, everybody had a number. Yeah,
No, that was our group's number. I don't even remember if other people were listening.
Oh, okay. Could be.
Like if I had to say 359 to one of the people in the combine, like our whole group's number was like 359 to Mike. Do you want your lunch? Or 359 to my dad.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, ours is just a private
channel.
It's just a private channel, but yeah.
That brings up my age. Well, it would be entertaining. Maybe sometime we can have the whole crew on the Turf Step Radio and hear the Google chats back and forth.
That would be entertaining. It definitely would be an after dark one, I think.
After dark episode. Yeah. So you talked a lot about, or you said, ups and downs. And I love talking to people about that, the ups and downs of careers and how you go through that roller coaster. and what that looks like. So tell me a little bit about that. Tell me about some of the downs and the, not necessarily failures, but the lower points and how you rebounded from them.
Well, I mean, our downs wise, we honestly, our company wise, we've always done fairly good in our market here, but we haven't really been financially strapped or anything like that too bad here. We've had a, but I mean, downs would be like if we're losing core guys, you know, we'll lose a few guys and we have to replace them. That's always, you know, it's a bummer, but it's what it's part of the game that we play, because all of our, most of our help are all just seasonal temp, you know, I call them, they come to work. It's just a part-time job. All these other guys, all these guys have full-time jobs for the most part. Down-wise would be, you know, down snow years when you're not, just not making as much money as you want to be. I mean, there was, what was it, 3 years ago? I think we had the total of, was it 17 inches or I can't remember what it ended up being.
But
it was a terrible winter. That, I mean, we actually, that was back when down south they got a lot of snow in like Texas, Arkansas and stuff. So we actually, I took four of us and we hit the road and we ended up plowing in Arkansas for a week or whatever. That was pretty fun. We had a blast. I'd do that again tomorrow. It was a fun time. We ended up in Little Rock and I think we plowed like 13 Walmarts with four pickups. Maybe slept like 4 hours. I mean, it was a good time. We had fun with that one, but that's most of our downs would be just our down snow years, which,
yeah.
Cause you know, we gear up all year for winter and we're, you know, just like hoping for a good winter. I mean, I guess, most of the guys on the East Coast, I think are having a terrible winter this year is what I've heard from the guys, that there's just no snow out there. So it makes it financially hard and, you know, you gear up for it and nothing happens.
Yeah. We haven't had in Nebraska, last year, I don't know if there was a plowable snow, and this year we haven't had much snow either, but those are the frustrating things in a business, right? The things that we absolutely don't have any control over. A lot of times the ups and downs were like, that's a learnable lesson. Like this happened, some things happened with employees and we can think and learn, all right, what do I need to learn from this as a leader? How can we make some shifts in business so this doesn't happen again? But you are in a unique position in that business of weather is completely out of our control. So
yeah.
A year with 17 inches versus the 55, that's hard, completely out of control, completely not something that you can plan for or foresee. And it's gotta be hard. And like, what lesson was I supposed to learn from that? Now you guys made a shift and you traveled. So that was good.
Yeah. It was fun. I mean, obviously we have seasonal contracts that are built in that we try to cover our overhead with on years like that. So we can, like I say, cover our overhead, which that's fine and dandy, but you still want to, you got all this stuff sitting here. You want to put it to work and make some money. So, and I mean, it's Mother Nature. Can't do anything about it. You just got to see what she throws at you and deal with it. So
there you go. We're going to take our first commercial break. If you are watching on Facebook with us, I see lots of comments. Because we're doing it through StreamYard, you need to register your name through StreamYard. Otherwise, you just come across with us as Facebook user. So Edward has some comments in here and questions, and I love that. Give us some more questions. So you've got some great things to ask Jeremy, and we will be right back after this commercial break.
What are you in a hotel room?
All right, and we're back. So we're going to dive into a couple of the questions first, Jeremy, and then I'll go into some more stuff I want to learn. But this one's from Edward. Thanks for being on. How big is Glacier Mountain this year with all the snow?
Glacier snow, the glacier or Mount Fargo, I guess we call it in town here.
Mount Fargo. That's why I was like, I thought you called it something else. Now yeah, you're so amazing, they name it after you.
No, I do call our own dump site Glacier Mountain, but that's not quite that big yet. But Mount Fargo, honestly, I don't know how high it is. I haven't heard a measurement lately, but it's probably got to be at least 80 feet high. And I did measure, it's like 630 feet long by, I think it was like, 250 feet wide right now. So yeah, it's getting up there. They're still hauling every night. We're just a subcontractor on to the city of Fargo, or to another crew has the contract this year, and we're just subbing onto them. But yeah, they're still hauling snow every night. So
tell those of us that, I mean, those of us that follow you and see and know, and I knew what this was, but for those people that don't know, tell us a little bit about this, and we will post in the show notes, and hopefully we'll get it posted here in the Facebook group where you can follow Jeremy. So you can see all this awesomeness for yourself. But tell us a little bit about what Mount Fargo, is that what you said it's called?
Yeah, we call it Mount Fargo. Yeah, okay. I coined that, I think, last year.
Tell us what it is.
It's the city dump site for the city of Fargo, where they haul the street snow, where they pull in like the curbs and stuff off of all the streets get pretty narrow because of snow we've had. So they pretty much go and blow trucks full of snow all night long going down all these streets. And they have to bring it to one spot. And we got a couple of snow cats up there. And we just piled these, I think these trucks are hauling 700 loads a night in, between 500 and 700, I think that city was saying. But so, yeah, they dump all the snow there. And we just push it up with the snow cats. And we're pushing it, like I said, I don't know, it must be like 80 feet high or so by now. And it's like 600 some feet long and 250 wide. But yeah, it's a lot of snow there. Last year, I think it was 100. I thought they said 120 or something feet high.
It's just crazy.
It melted. I think that last week of July it finally melted out there at the dump site area. So I kind of always when I drive by it, I'll take a picture and put it on my Instagram, whatever, and say when it's gonna melt, whatever. But somebody asked, when does it melt? I think the latest I've seen it go like first or second week in August. So yeah,
that's what we talked to you about when I was just learning about you and meeting you in Minnesota. I was looking on your Instagram. I'm telling me more about this mountain, and you said sometimes it melts in August. I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's just dirty street snow too. You wouldn't want to. Everybody's like, we can go sled on. I'm like, oh, you better have a tetanus shot. It's not the it's just dirt snow. It's not very good looking or whatever, but yeah, stuff you find in there is probably not good.
okay, what's some more questions here? I saw more. Okay, again from Edward. If you weren't in the snow business, what would you be doing or love to do?
It'd have to be something to do with equipment. I love equipment. I'd probably be farming. I do that on kind of a, I call that between like, in the summertime we do dust control here, where I spray gravel roads with the calcium chloride. And so between that season and snow, it's probably October, November, kind of gets slower in that. So I usually go out and farm with some buddies, and, you know, I run the combine and stuff like that. I call that my little vacation before, you know, we start with the snow game. But I always like farmers. I grew up on a farm and stuff, so I'd probably be working for some farmer or something like that, just because I love being around equipment, and that's kind of my game.
Like you said, big boy choice. I was telling someone, I was making videos from ProGreens today, and yeah, I was like, why does this make me, I said in one of the videos on something, I was like, why does every one of these make me just want to buy some big power equipment? and I know that's probably every man that walks into the show, like, what can I do? But being raised on a farm around tractors and combines and all of that, I will self admit I'm not good at a bobcat. But the rest of it, it's like getting into
just takes kids. Just take seat time. I always tell the guys, new guys, I go, I can tell you how to run everything, but you just got to be in the seat and then you'll figure it out. So
a bobcat takes seat time.
Oh yeah, just like anything, just sitting there and you'll figure it out eventually.
Or I might tip the bobcat over. I mean, I'm good at a lot of other things and I drive other things. I don't know about the bobcat though. Okay. So I don't know who this is because they didn't register on StreamYard, so it just says Facebook user still. But he says, I may have missed this earlier in the stream, but has Glacier always been a snow company only, or have you done other services before?
No, Glacier's always just been snow. I guess we're probably 90% snow, if you want to call ours. We keep a few guys employed over the summer where we run like three mower crews. And then, like I said, we do dust control for something to do. Try to use some of our trucks and stuff in the summer for that. But otherwise, we're a snow company, and we just do a few odds, you know, other things on the side. So, but yeah, we're all snow. Don, who started Glacier, he was a beekeeper for many years before he started Glacier. So, and he had a skidster and a pickup, and that's how he started this company. So,
and just grew and.
Yep.
Grew.
That's started from a skidster and a pickup.
How many team members are at Glacier?
We got 10 full-time guys here, and then like I said, the rest are all seasonal, you know, or you know, when I call them to work. So yeah.
That's awesome. Okay, so anyone, if you have any more, oh, we did post. Thank you, Edward posted that too. Be sure and follow Jeremy on Instagram. I'm telling you, it is so entertaining. It's David Osborne that asked the question. Thank you, David. Okay, so you have a new podcast. Tell us about that.
Oh yeah, me and a friend of mine I met on Instagram. He actually called me this fall. His name is Steve. He's out in New York. He friends all hands. Landscaping there, and then we kind of started talking. The first time he called me, I think we talked for over an hour just talking about snow and stuff, because kind of what we both do. And just became good buddies, and we're like, hey, we should start a podcast. There isn't really anything out there for snow guys. We'll just kind of talk about the industry and, you know, stories, and try to just have fun with it, I guess. And I guess we're going to see where we dropped our first episode last Monday. So far it's doing pretty good, everybody's saying. So good reviews, and I don't know, we're gonna see how far that'll take us. Just kind of have fun with it, nothing too serious. We'll see what happens. I like talking snow, and I'd like to see how everybody else does around the country or wherever, and just fun to hear stories about it. So
yeah, you already have a great following and create great content on Instagram, so why not talk about it? And I love platforms like that that give people a sense of community and something to listen to. Like you said, there wasn't anything out there around snow, and I love that you're giving that. There's all kinds of people in this industry, right, that are doing what you're doing, maybe not on the same level, but to be able to have a place to, one, laugh about it, hear some stories, identify with stories, and then to create that platform to talk about it, talk about struggles, talk about the highs and lows, talk about things that work, and the funny stories. It like gives people a space to be and a community to be as well.
Yeah, it's pretty much what we wanted to do, is just have fun with it and like you said, tell stories. And it's like Steve goes, I just want to be like, we're just sitting around a campfire and we're just talking, you know, nothing serious. And let's have fun with it and see if the guys can learn. If we can learn something, great. If not, we'll be entertaining anyway, or try to be. So,
exactly. Well, that's what my first instruction to you. I was like, I'm not going to give you any questions. It's like the main goal is let's be funny.
So we'll try. Yep.
Not that we can intentionally be funny, but let's laugh. It's super chill. Like, let's just hear from your stories, because like I said, your Instagram definitely is entertaining and it's just a story. I think you're a natural storyteller through your videos and the music you put with them. So I'm excited that you now have a voice, a regular voice. So don't just follow him on Instagram. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Yeah, it was great. And you guys are doing a great job of promoting it. So I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
Okay, Edward has another question. Thanks, Edward, for all the questions. The rest of you on Facebook, you better start chiming
in. Catch up.
Catch up. Okay, how big is your fleet? Loaders, trucks, etc.
In-house, we run 38 loaders out of here, big loaders, mini loaders, and it's a couple pickups. We don't really have many pickups out in our fleet, more or less. We have pickups with plows on, but they don't do any full-time plowing, really. They're just here to touch up a corner or a driveway or something. We have 11 sidewalk machines, I think it is, and a bunch of sidewalk guys. Then we got a lot of subcontractors. Subcontractors bring a lot to our table, too. So I think around 135 or 137 when we're out with all of our subs and sidewalk guys and everything. So, yeah, we got a lot of stuff moving, but it's pretty fun. Controlled chaos.
Controlled chaos. Isn't that what we're all trying to do? How much can we organize and control the chaos? All right. Do you have any good story, like a good, funny snow story? Your best story. No pressure. Your best story.
No pressure. God, I don't know. That is a... God, I really don't... Put me on the spot here. That
I know. I was like, oh, that was what I should have given you an advance warning for. Okay, maybe you can think about... Oh, you got one?
No, I'm trying to think. I'm sure I got one somewhere. I just got to think about it. So.
Okay, I'm going to let you ponder on the best story. Okay, and we'll go into... I haven't... not grilled you, but asked you at all, like, courage stories. So in your journey with this, in your whole journey of life or in this, I love to talk about, like, courage, what courage means to you. And if you feel like there's a place in this career, in your life, where you've made a courageous decision, how that felt, how it moved you to the next level.
Courage wise, honestly, I would think, honestly, right before I took Glacier, I was deciding between Glacier and going to work for my brother-in-law on his farm. And, you know, I've always liked snow, and I want to grow with this company, and, you know, I'm like become owner at some point here. And, so I saw that as a better leaping or better spot for me to go, and it's to come over here and grow with this company, and honestly, it's probably the best decision I made, because I've had nothing but a good time with Glacier, and doing this job and meeting all the people I've met here has been great, and I've learned so much stuff, and I've grown from every year I try to become. There's a lot of stuff going on here, so I was always kind of known as being kind of a hothead or whatever, and I think I'm calming down now a little better, and I'm trying to relax a little more, take stuff in, and not get so worked up about stuff, because, you know, it happened, it's over, it's done with, it does no good. Yeah.
We all have a path
about it, so.
Yeah.
So I just, every year I'm just trying to grow and get better at understanding everything, and not be so worked up, I guess. And I think I'm doing pretty good there lately, honestly. You just gotta roll with it. That's all you can really do, because if you're mad about it, you ain't gonna change anything. So you just gotta try to do better next time. So
that's a good perspective. Yeah. I love that. Sometimes you gotta roll with things. Sometimes you gotta learn from them and learn the lesson. And sometimes, whether it be with a frustration with yourself, or I'm sure in that operation of dealing with that many people, and sometimes things that are out of your control and organized chaos, there can be things when you're driven. And I mean, this is me, and this has been a parallel of my own journey and lesson. Like, I want the organized chaos to look like my organized pattern. When other people don't follow that organized pattern, it's frustrating. And I used to be, like you said, a little, I'm still on a growth pattern of that, of like, all right, just let it roll off and tomorrow is a new day.
Yeah, it's pretty much all you can do. I try to do better every day, and that's all you can try, I guess. Try to be a
Absolutely.
better person, better boss, better whatever you're at. Just try to get better.
Better leader, yes. Is there anything, I mean, that's one area of growth, but is there something that you've learned, and this can be serious or funny or however you want to take it, but is there anything that you've learned or that you've come across in the last year that has changed your perspective? And because of that, changed your business, you know, what's going on in your business or your life?
Yeah, I mean, it's changed. That whole kind of rolls into what I said last is I really, I really last year, I think I really calmed down quite a bit, and I just kind of looked at a lot, and I've had some personal things going on that I've had to grow from and kind of learn from them and move forward. So, I mean, I'm just trying to become a better person all the way around, and I don't know if I am, but I'm trying every day, so.
That's all we can do, right? Try and become a better version of ourselves and learning that. I think your energy reflects that when I met you in person. That and the strive to growth and becoming a better version of ourselves makes us better leaders. Like that's one of the most important parts, right? Like you said,
Right.
hothead before, and I agree with being that at points, but it is about those struggles and how we can work through them and become better versions of ourselves so that we can be better leaders and better for everyone else.
Right.
Okay, we're going to take our second commercial break and we come back. This is your chance to think of your funny story and a
Think
couple
I
more
got
questions.
one.
Okay. I was like, wait a second, what button? So, second commercial break, we'll be right back. Okay, and we're back. Okay, so I am excited. Before I kick off this story, people on Facebook, this is your last chance to ask us some good questions. I love like rapid fire questions at the end. So if you have any, here you go, Jeremy, on your story.
Bring him on. Bring him on.
Yeah.
You want my story? Okay.
Yeah.
I think it was probably 4 years ago. We had a pretty big storm right around Christmas time, and we were actually had some guys from the cities and everybody come here. We got quite a bit of snow, and we're hauling snow one night. And when we haul snow, I like to bring as much equipment out as possible. So we're hauling a lot of snow, and I was across town in my pickup, and one of my loader operators, he's like, Jeremy, where are you at? I'm like, wherever I was. And he's like, there's a lady on my loader. I'm like, what? I'm like, she's strung out or whatever. She crawled on top of it on his loader while he's loading trucks. He's got video of her, like, stuck against the window. I'm like, and he's just flipping out going, get off my loader, get off my loader. And so I'm racing. It's like he was scared. I'm like, what are you scared about, Matt? You're in a loader. Tell her to get off your loader. So I race across town to the other downtown Fargo. And sure enough, here's this girl. He got her off the loader. Now she's walking down the middle of the street in front of like the trucks and stuff. And I'm like herding her like a cow down the street. And she ended up like falling down in a snowbank. And then some minivan came by and picked her up, I guess. I think she talked him into giving her a ride. But yeah, she was in a different planet. But I don't know. I'll never forget my loader guy screaming on the radio that there's a lady on my loader. I'm like, what are you scared of? Another loader that was down there, the guy was just laughing. So we still give this guy a lot of crap to this day about that. I'm like, what are you so scared of? So that was pretty fun. I don't know. That was probably one of the funniest things we've had happen.
This is not in the process manual. What do we do about this? This is.
Yeah, there's you just pretty much laugh about it and make sure everybody's taking video or pictures because you got to have that up for TikTok or Instagram. So yeah, it was a good one. And I'm always known for picking people up, you know, if they're whatever. It seems like I always grab somebody here in a storm if they're walking or whatever. So I got some stories about that, but I don't know. Some crazy stuff goes on here in the town. So one day it'll catch up with me.
Well, it's good that you can, like I said, make light of some of the storms and entertainment of that. I wanted to go back to the community thing for a second, because I think that's so important. And as you've talked about becoming a better version of yourself and the Instagram and the podcast, I think it's so important to feel like we have a community. And that's why I love doing this. I love the people that are on and creating a space and being vulnerable and sharing things so that other people know, one, to be entertaining and laugh and make people laugh, which you do. But share stories of success, be a cheerleader for other people, but also be, you know, a safe space to be vulnerable and learn. And it's not just about learning the skills, like you said, but just, you know, having a place to talk. So tell me a little bit about that. What do you feel the value of community and having other people, not just in snow, but in, you know, in the service industry and having communities?
I think it's great that if we can all kind of get something from one another and what we, you know, what we're all going through or how we're doing business or just, I know it's just fun to kind of either get people in your industry or, you know, like say in any other industry, just kind of let loose once in a while and bounce stuff off each other, what we're each going through, or if it's, they got better ideas how to do stuff, or usually it just starts with guys telling stories or guys or gals telling stories with each other. And then it leads from that to down the road to, oh, this is how we do this and how are you guys doing that? And what works for you and this doesn't work for us. And I don't know if that's answering your question, but
yeah,
it's just, I always felt you just open up by just telling stories about like a funny story or something. And everybody just kind of gets, goes from there and people just kind of open up to themselves up, I guess, to more stories to be told. So.
Yeah. It all happens with stories. And that's what I said about doing this is I love learning from other people's stories, hearing other people's stories and how we can learn from them. And then, like you said, being a leader in that of how can sharing your story and telling stories open the door to create a relationship for other people to be able to share their stories as well.
Yep, for sure.
I love that. Okay, we're back into, since no one else on Facebook is asking more questions. Come on, Edward and David, we're relying on you. and anyone else that is on. But one thing, I'm going to put you on the spot again. I put you on the spot with a funny story.
Let's go.
Is there anything you're scared of? Like a fear that you need to face or something you're scared of?
I guess I'm scared of failing, not doing my job to the best of my ability. I'm scared of losing my main crew. I'm terrified of that. These guys are like family to me, and like I say, they're all getting older and they're all getting families, and so at some point they're going to move on, and I know I'll get guys to replace them, but these guys are like my brothers, or you know, we're just kind of a pretty good family, and I protect them, and I mean as in, if anybody says we're not doing this or that, I go to bat for my guys pretty hard. So I guess I'm at the failure of mind that I'm not, you know, or thing I'm scared of, I guess, is losing my main crew. But as far as, I don't want to fail Glacier the company. I want to do the best job I can do, and I want to be the best. It's just how I want to be. I mean, you can call that brash or whatever, but I don't, there's winners and losers. I want to be a winner. So I want to, that's kind of how I run myself. So
that's what sets people apart. And that's what attracts people to your energy, is that you want to be a winner and you're going for that, right? You are going for growth. And I think there's a healthy fear of failure, but you know, you are, I'm not going to say obsessed, but you know, really focused on that growth and wanting to be the best and wanting to do the best. And so we all do have that little bit of fear of failure, but that pushes us to the next level. And you already answered what my next question was going to be. I posted about this morning of, what are you afraid of losing? What are we so attached to? And sometimes that affects our daily life of, what in life are you afraid of losing? But you already said that, your team.
Yeah, my team here is everything. I mean, these guys, like I said before, the stuff we go through in the night that nobody ever sees, or nobody's going to hear about, or probably going to care about, but stuff we go through, I know it's minimal to a lot of stuff in life, but it, you know, it's a lot of, we go through a lot of stuff here. And I mean, these guys become a family. I mean, one guy that didn't even really know anybody, he had a wedding, you know, he's been here for a few years. He had a wedding the other day, and I mean, everybody, the whole crew was there. It was a great party. I mean, it's just, these guys will be friends forever now. I mean, just from working here, you know, so.
Well, that's something amazing that you've built, is that culture that's like family too, from all the things that you've done. Okay, Edward has another question. Being a snow-only company, what do you do to incentivize your employees to do the job that nobody really likes to do? That's a good one, Edward.
We started off with pretty good high wage, and then we have we started last year a bonus system for like every hour I got like a 3-tier bonus system worked out, where if every time I call you come, let's just say there's an A, B, and C, if you don't miss, then you'd be on you'll get it's extra $5 or $7 an hour at the end of the year for every hour you put in. And then each scale is a little different, A, B, and C scale, so it's, you know, you get your normal, you know, rate, and then you'll get a bonus at the end. And obviously we understand it's a part-time job, so guys gonna go on vacations, they're gonna do stuff. It's, you know, I can't hold anybody's feet to the fire. It's, you know, they gotta want to come, and honestly most of these guys want to come. So sometimes they'll be on vacation, they'll know we went out, they're like, damn, I missed the snowfall. It was because they like being with the guys. But so yeah, we do like a bonus program, and we'll go out if we're in a storm or whatever. I'll go out and buy all the guys food. You know, we'll stop a restaurant. We'll buy them all food, lunch, dinner. If it's a big blizzard, we'll get all the guys hotel rooms to stay in. You know, if they need to take a break. So we try to take care of them as much as much as we possibly can, you know, because we need them. They know we need them, and we're nothing without them. So,
exactly. Creating that culture of, you know, all the things that you can do to, one, make it like family, and know that they're taken care of. But I love that incentive program. So, Edward, way to ask a practical question about that. Because having part-time snow crews, you know, that's a big thing for people all around. That's something here, or I'm not in Nebraska, but when I normally am in Nebraska as well. Like, how do you incentivize people to show up because they have other stuff going on when it's an on-call basis? So I love that you have that, when that incentive of when you always show up. Because otherwise they can be like, I'm going to skip this one, right? It's a little bit too cold.
Right. So I always say, it doesn't matter the shiniest, newest equipment or what you're going to pay the guys an hour. That doesn't usually matter if they're going to pick the phone up at 2 o'clock in the morning or not. If they want to come in, you know, they still want to do it. So
yeah,
you can offer them whatever, but they still got to want to be part of it. So
exactly. So the twofold of the family culture, that they're bought in, they want to be part of that family, they want to be part of the experience. And then it's not just because of that, it's not just that they feel like they're letting you down, they are letting the family down, right? Letting the whole team down. And like you said, miss out. Like, I don't want to miss out on this big fun experience because they're going to make it fun. So I love that twofold incentive program.
Yeah, they definitely hold each other accountable. That's for sure. There's a lot of razzing going on. So if a guy messes up, he hears about it. You know, it's all fun and games, you know, for the guys, but it's fun. They all hold each other accountable. And so
it's fun. Great that it's from the guys and not just from you, that it's from everyone as well. So
correct. Yep.
Any wisdom, fun or otherwise, that you want to impart or leave people with?
I would say, wisdom-wise, just seem like I keep saying this, is if you're going to promise your customers, do what you say. I mean, if you're going to, whatever you promise, do it and go above and beyond, because that'll make them want you more, they'll respect you. As far as just treat everybody the way you want to be treated, you know, that standard saying, but it's true no matter what. If you want to be treated well, treat them well. And everything kind of comes full circle, and have fun. If you're not having, I mean, I always, I don't know if I'm just biased or I'm indifferent or what, but I always say if you're not having fun, it's probably time for you to leave. So, I mean, try to have fun with it. I mean, we're only here for a short time, so let's just have fun with it.
Exactly. I love all three of those things, Jeremy. And I think I saw that light and spark and energy in you, and people are attracted to your energy. And that's why I wanted you to share it with people on the show, because your authenticity and vulnerability come across in such a shining way. So the work that you're doing on yourself and growing, it's working. And I love all that. Yeah, you got to exceed people's expectations, provide remarkable client experience, treat people like you want to be treated. And we all do not have enough fun. So how can we consider that first? And you lead with that in your life. And that's what attracts people to you. And I think how you've built such a great team, how you've built a great following, and your podcast is just going to be amazing, because it's something, the playful energy of fun. And playful is one of my words for this year, but it is something we all need more of in life, right? It's fun.
For sure. Yeah, definitely.
There are far too many people out there doing something they do not like to do. And you're doing it on a big level that we can talk about and laugh about, of like, I get to play with big toys every day. You know, it can be like funny and something that is on a big scale, playful, that we can laugh about, but everyone can find a way and find how their life and their career and everything that they do can be fun.
Oh, for sure. Definitely. If you're not having fun, I mean, that's just kind of my motto lately. Is if you're not having fun, I can't be. I used to be pretty serious, and now I'm just trying not to be as serious anymore, and just roll with everything and try to embrace everything and move forward. And I don't know, like I say, I'm learning every day. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I got a long ways to go. So,
well, that energy shines through, and so does your vulnerability for growth. So. Thank you so much for being on the show. I look forward to connecting with you more in the future and just watching your success on the podcast. And
I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So you guys, we posted the links to him on Instagram in the show notes. I will post his podcast as well. Make sure and follow, download, and subscribe Jeremy as well, because you will have a lot of fun and entertainment and learn a lot as well. Those of you listening on Turfs Up Radio, if you are at Pro Greens, make sure you send me a DM. I will be here still tomorrow and would love to connect with you. So thank you everyone again for tuning in live or listening on Facebook, Turfs Up. Join us live every week at 4:30, or you can always catch the replays on the podcast. So thanks again, Jeremy. I can't wait to connect again soon.
Thank you, Angela. Appreciate it.